You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
Santa Claus.
Ho, ho, ho. Welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome for the final show of 2025. My name is Dion, and I am joined by Quinny and Peter and Jill and all of you lovely people and everyone in the chat. Hello and Merry Christmas. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy Hanukkah. All of those things. Happy holidays. Sure, why not?
Yes.
How are you all going?
I'm sick.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I've only got two and a half. Business days left.
Yes, exactly.
I'm knocking off at midday on Fridays. It's 2.5 days to go.
Come on. We've only got a couple of business days left. Everyone now is, what did I say something today, which is like, I'm only spending $300 a day. I haven't wrapped any of the presents.
Do you think that any of my clients that I had booked in for printing this week have delivered their artwork? Because that's a big fat no.
I mean, I could send you some.
I tell you, if I have to do any overtime this week, I'm charging a fee.
Sure.
Yeah, fee absolutely. Is chocolates and champagne.
Yep.
Or cash.
Yeah. That that fee is called Deliver January.
Yeah. Do you have the kind of clients who are nice who will drop you in a bottle of something around Christmas time?
We do have a few. I have collected a couple of bottles so far, which is fantastic. So,
amazing.
Nice.
Yes. Yeah, remember, they're the ones that I go above and beyond for, but everyone else can suck a dick.
Yeah. just remember everyone who works, or maybe you are the person who works in that office or that situation, that it's always better to bribe people and say thank you for all the shitty things I kind of had to make you do during this year.
That is a new policy I'll be implementing next year. Like, no rush fees, it's bribery, just straight up bribery.
Please approach with snacks.
Yeah, I will take request. Treats in return for ushering your work through quickly.
Yeah. And that's where we go. And speaking of ushering in our work through quickly, or perhaps not really worrying about it till next year, this week, our final show.
Yeah. Wait, so is this show going to be a January problem?
Maybe.
I don't know. It depends whether we get it published in time.
Yeah, it may come out in January.
Who knows?
Everyone live here on Twitch will be able to see us right now. But I don't know if I'm going to have time to edit it. Get it ready, and whether or not Quinny has time to press publish on the thing, or
maybe we'll get it there. We'll get it there.
Maybe we'll just have too much eggnog.
I think we talked about this the week before.
Did we?
The eggnog. Yeah, I'll just drink the nog.
Yes, yeah, I do remember that. I remember the punchline, just nothing else.
Yeah.
Maybe just like a cold glass of nog. It sounds like a Deep Space Nine reference.
It is. Oh, we made that joke last week too. I'm sorry to everybody who's joining in for the second week in a row to hear exactly the same fucking comedy. Like no. Paying to see the same comedian and getting the same fucking shtick.
It's the Christmas it's a Christmas clip show, Quiddy. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, if you guys can monetize us, we'll freshen the jokes up for you.
Yeah.
Hey, shout out to Elska Norga in the chat, who's like, the best way to spread Christmas cheer is to support TBTOA throughout each year. I'm like, aww. Oh,
yeah. Lovely.
There's a Ko-fi link somewhere. I don't know.
Yeah, it's up above your left shoulder, Quiddy.
Oh,
point,
right.
You can point that way. Yeah, there way. We go. There you go.
Hey, yeah, great. Ko-fi link, just there.
Yeah, you did it. You did it perfectly. That's great.
Yeah. Ko-fi Annan.
Okay, to be honest, 2025 has just been a garbage fire of fuckery.
Oh, yeah, we're really ending on a low.
Sliding across that line of, wow, fuck, you just had to give that dip right at the end there, but yeah. Thanks. Yeah.
Big-ass pothole.
Yeah, a big-ass pothole in the end, but I'm sure everyone is relieved and looking forward to the break, and hopefully we could restart in 2026 anew. Later than usual, because we're going to have some time off. Don't forget, we're coming back later in January, so a little bit of time. Recoup.
Yeah.
Collect our thoughts. Hopefully nothing interesting comes out.
A bit of time for you guys to go and watch some cool shit and tell us about it too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's probably a whole bunch of stuff that you'll go and watch that we're sure as shit not going to. I'm speaking about you, Avatar.
You were just whinging about the fact you hadn't seen Zootopia 2 yet.
I haven't, and I'm very excited to, because I think the first one was great, and I get the impression that all indications are that the sequel is quite good too. So
how can you even say that? I mean, Disney started with what, foxes as a Robin Hood character, and now they're a cop.
Ooh, baby, yeah.
What the fuck?
And he was a grifter.
This is a
and then kind of became a cop, but you know.
Yeah, it's only then he had acceptance in society when he started enforcing rule. Anyway, okay, fine. We don't need that.
Oh, Karina's off to on Boxing Day to see Rental Family, I assume upon our recommendation.
Oh, yes, excellent. That's a great
and Anaconda.
Oh my god! Okay, so I saw the trailer for Anaconda, and I thought actually that looks fucking hilarious. I do want to watch that.
I mean,
it's giving the bubble vibes.
Yes, I'm hoping it's got that kind of.
It's dumb.
Yeah. My initial thing when I first watched the trailer, I was like, "Oh no, I don't know about that."
not even for Al Pedro.
Yeah,
he's not even in it, is he? I thought it was Paul Rudd.
Of course, he's it. I mean,
Paul Rudd too.
Yeah.
More than one person can be in a movie.
Yeah. Oh.
what is Pedro? The snake? What the fuck, man?
You know, yes.
Also, I will say, Preda Kangaroo in the chat is talking about it's a big book time. And I'm like, yes, don't forget, you don't have to watch movies or television. You can read a book.
I started reading again. I went and visited my friends. Oh, I ran my race. Just a quick catch up for everyone.
Quick round of applause for Jill.
And then my friend set me off with about 7 books. She's like, have you read this one? What about this one? So I had to make room in my suitcase for books. So I'm getting stuck in a reading.
Imagine going away for a weekend and coming back with books. That's great. That's amazing.
Yeah. That's winning at life.
I've already smashed one out this week. So
nice. Yeah. Gold.
Yeah.
But what are we doing tonight?
I'm going to try and do some reading too. So what are we doing tonight?
The show, yeah.
What are we doing
about tonight?
Well, it's the end of the year as we know it, and I feel,
yep.
But as such, we're going to have a bit of a look back at the year, and we're going to see if we can pull apart all of the best that we have seen. Specifically, we're going to look at our top movies, our best movies, and our best TV. So we've each put forth our suggestions, our votes for the top. And also, we're more than happy to have you in the chat. We love you, chat. Drop your top and top TV and top movies as well.
Sure.
We will probably also be talking about, you know, things that we loved but maybe didn't make the cut. But we've definitely got some stuff to talk about.
And also, I'm not going to play a clip from each and every one decided from what we're talking about here, because that will just literally be a show of clips, and everyone has Google, fucking Google it. You can Google it for yourself.
Yes. And also, if we did do that, we just get pinged by DCMA very quickly and the YouTube goes to shit. So, you know.
Also, one small caveat, we have to have seen said film or television show, which is just for Peter's recommendation. Then she's like, I haven't seen some of these things. I'm like, fine. You have to see it.
Yeah, it's important. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Also in the chat too, tell us your favorite ones. We're just going to go a bit of a round robin. It's a discussion show kind of thing tonight.
Yeah.
Nothing too flash.
Yeah, we may even throw it open to you. Like I during the night may say, okay, Elskinoga, what is your number one film of the year? And I want to see that in the chat.
Right.
You know.
So start thinking now. Suddenly are in that like, when's it going to be my time to read the next line mindset from primary school?
Sure. Yeah, the eye of Sauron will be upon you.
I mean, how can you get even more anxiety into people? Like, you may be called upon.
Yes.
Kari, and then we will judge Kari it.
Kari Elvin is saying that they can barely remember what came out this year. That is also my problem. And therefore, my system is looking at the TP2OA website and picking the film and TV series that I apparently gave the highest rating, which is fun for two reasons, partly because my favourite things aren't always things that we discuss on this show, and also partly because my rating system is, as you know, fickle and changeable.
Sure.
But that's what I'm going with for tonight.
I mean, hey, this was the year we introduced the tits off rating system, so...
One of the things too that I thought about when I was thinking about it as well, I had a real struggle trying to think of a best film. Because I had the opposite problem was, like, there was too much excellent television.
Yeah.
For all agreed. These things. So I was sort of sitting there going, I can't think of the best film I've seen this year. I can think of every single television series that was just amazing. And that was just a battle royale in my brain of what to think about. Did anyone else have a banger? Someone started us off with a banger of a film.
Yeah. I had a lot of trouble because we managed to cram so much in for 12 months that the next thing overwrites the last, you know, and then so I had to do the Pete thing and also go back through the website, see what we'd reviewed and what I gave high scores to. But there were so many things that I did love this year. But I think the one I gave the highest rating to in movies was Weapons.
Give it a weapon. Hey.
Nice.
Which I too enjoyed thoroughly. I loved it. Pete, what did you think of it?
I didn't see it.
Sorry.
But I appreciate the clips that I've seen.
Dory, this is going to come back around to Jill when we get to Quinny's best TV of the year. So it's fine. Sorry to call you out like that. I know that you didn't see it. Quinny, how did you enjoy your first Weapons experience from that director? Because you hadn't seen Barbarian.
I hadn't seen Barbarian, so I was kind of like, oh, shit, okay. Yeah. Weapons was a hell of a drug. There was a lot going on and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I personally thought some of the comedic elements towards the end felt like I was being let off the hook, but it was still pretty fucking spectacular. And in terms of horror, I mean, not gore, not like real full on kind of, but the psychological just aspect.
Terrifying
of it,
shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Remember, you're also up against a lot of stuff, like a lot of big ticket movies came out this year. Superman.
They did, yeah. Superman and Fantastic Four, and Thunderbolts. I mean, they were all a little bit mid for me.
Yeah.
You know what was one point off from Weapons? K-pop Demon Hunters. That was another one I rated quite highly.
Look, to be honest, I was torn on that one. Mm. For me, that was pretty much the second, well, it could very easily have been the film of the year. From my perspective, it is the film of the year in the sense of the impact that it had culturally.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I cannot think of any other film that has so quickly fucking embedded itself like a tick into the pop culture landscape.
And people's Spotify playlists. Yeah, in Spotify Wrapped, you listen to this particular song 9 trillion times. And they got 4 cents.
Well, I didn't see that one either.
I mean, it's animation, so you'd hate it, but yeah.
I mean, not necessarily. I like music.
I think you'd dig it, Pete.
I think you would actually.
Pete, I reckon you would absolutely love it if you were vacuuming the house and just listening to the music going. If you put it on and you're doing that, you would just suddenly be like, this is amazing. I love this.
Yeah.
That is how I watch a lot of things. just with my ears while doing chores.
Oh.
Yes, I love those 5 days of working to leave the 48 hours of having to do all the bits to so I can enjoy 5 days of working again.
Yeah.
We all love that.
Sunday scaries is real.
Weapons. Loved weapons. I thought it was great. Some people had a bit of a problem with it. Like, we've gone through this. We reviewed it in August. It was great. Yeah. I really appreciate that one. We do have a clip from weapons. Do you want to have a little bit of a recap to into the back of that?
Let's get
one?
A bit of that.
Yeah, I think this is the ending as well. So you get to see that cathartic moment.
Yeah, we're just going to go, like, enjoy a bit of weapons.
That's the way.
Oh no.
We all love...
Ladies and gentlemen, weapons.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, weapons.
Started a whole new meme run.
Yeah, it did start a whole new meme
run. Got the narrative run and then you got the weapons run.
Yeah. Which is great. I mean, weapons was a great one. I really liked it. I agree with that one, Jill. That's a great movie.
Cool. Thanks.
Not my best. Anyone else? Anyone else got a good movie?
Ooh, look... My top film for the year was a very tough one. I was like, oh shit, could go either way. And as I said, like K-pop Demon Hunters, I was like, from a whole holistic view, I think it was amazing. However, I was thinking about it and I was like, oh yeah, we've had all the superhero stuff. We had Superman, which was fine. We had Fantastic Four, which, look, I liked Superman, but it was fine. We had Fantastic Four, which was fine. We had Thunderbolts, which was quite good. But I realized that I needed to think a little bit wider. And I went for Ryan Coogler's Sinners.
Also a very good movie.
I didn't see that one.
Oh,
Pete.
Let me tell you, guys. All of these movies that we are picking tonight are great and you should watch them. Mm-hmm. That is your homework for the holidays.
Given Catch that the horror genre isn't my thing, though, I don't know.
I don't know.
I think you would probably get enough out of the way that this is shot.
And there's a good folklore backstory in it as well, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. Like, I think it would be an amazing film to watch not knowing that it's a horror. Mm. Like, if you went into it not knowing where it was going, I think that could be fucking awesome.
Yeah.
But it's a film that relies super heavily on music, and it's kind of about the importance of music, specifically in Black culture and in response to the pressures that are put on them. And yeah, I just fucking loved the shit out of it. Set in 1932, Michael B. Jordan plays dual roles of two brothers, and normally that'd shit me up the wall, but here he did it incredibly well.
Oh, it was beautiful.
Yeah. So good. And then there are a bunch of Irish you know, vampires who show up, and you're like, right, okay, this is, it's kicking on. But yeah, who else saw it? Jill, you obviously did.
Yes.
Dion, what were your thoughts?
Look, I quite enjoyed it. I'm also enjoying the fact that probably all the movies that we're picking this time, Peter hasn't seen, which is fine. It's totally normal. I thought it was an excellent film. I didn't love it as much because I felt a little bit talked down to by a reliance on explaining something, which was very kind of explained once, but it kept getting repeated over and over again. And I'm like,
there was a repetitive explanation of something. I'm like, we're not dumb. Yeah. We're following.
Yeah. We remember that. We did pay attention. We're not looking at our phones while we're here sitting in the cinema. But, you know, as a part of an interesting narrative and a bit of a twist on that and focused on a different community in that way, yeah, I loved it. I thought it was great. And Ryan Coogler did amazing in it, like as it through everything. It was great. But it wasn't my top. I didn't actually love it to that extent. I'm not going to go back and watch it. I didn't watch it twice.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
What about you, Jill? Where were you at with it?
Yeah, I loved it. I had that same thing with Dion as like, you didn't need to explain that again. But yeah, the twist was great. The music was good. Yeah, you know, I love a horror genre. And yeah, the performances were really good. It is one that I still want to rewatch. I just haven't got around to it yet. So, yeah.
Now, I know we have a clip of it, and this is actually one of my favorite bits out of the film. Like, this is the bit where it actually, to me, kind of elevated to a totally different level. Unfortunately, for it to get to the bit where it elevates to the totally different level is quite a long bit way into the clip. But we might play a little bit of it.
Sure.
But
you
know,
just want to encourage people. It's a little frisson. You just want to encourage people who haven't seen Sinners to go and watch Sinners.
Give them a reason to go back. Where this sequence goes turns into fucking cinema, like absolute cinema.
It wasn't forced on us like that religion. No, sir. We brought this with us, Mahone.
It's magic what we do.
It's sacred.
There are legends of people born with the gift of making music so true it can pierce the veil between life and death, conjuring spirits from the past
Somebody take me
and the future.
Somebody take me in your arms tonight.
That's a very long clip, and it does actually end quite well. I think you're right there, Quinny. But
like that ends into this fucking time bending sequence of fucking just incredible shit.
So you thought that one was that particular scene was incredible, and I actually got a little irritated by it, which is strange.
Okay. Well, you know, I guess you can't be right about everything, Dale.
No. I mean, only in my own brain. When I say that,
give it a, like, if you haven't watched it, I would thoroughly, thoroughly recommend go give it a go. I mean, it's streaming now, so of course you can find it anywhere.
Yeah.
Right. Who's next?
Who's next for films? Peter, do you want to take this one? Which one do you love? Who's your favorite?
Well, I mean, based on the written record, given I cannot actually remember which films I watched this year, The highest rated film on the TPTO website. Well, I have to kind of give no. I really liked Rental Family, but we didn't actually give that a number. So it cannot be my highest rated film of the year. My highest rated was. Thunderbolts / New Avengers, or whatever we're supposed to call that now.
Right.
And I kind of stand by that. Of all of the big ticket superhero
blockbuster
films
movies,
that were released, films and others that were released this year, I thought it was by far the best, which is funny because I've recently been criticised by somebody who I said to like them it was really good and they should go see it, and they hated it. And that person much preferred Superman. And I was like, okay, I mean, Superman wasn't like terrible. But I really thought Thunderbolts did a job. And it was much better than I was expecting. It tackled things that I wasn't expecting it to tackle. And it kind of went back to basics on the old hero's journey as a mismatched troop of troubled good guys. It didn't overcomplicate itself, which I kind of liked. Tropes and genres exist for a reason, and sometimes it's just because telling a story like that works, and it worked for me. And I just like kind of appreciated that while it was walking that kind of simple storytelling line, it was handling some pretty heavy thematic content as well.
Yeah.
And I thought Florence Pugh's performance was really tonally good.
It was a bit of a standout as you know, for the big blockbuster comic book films that we had this year, including Fantastic Four and Superman and all those, like Thunderbolts was one of those ones no one expected, but actually gave us something unexpected by being an interesting story about flawed characters. Which was great.
Yeah.
Like proper flawed characters in the sense, not just like, oh no, I lost my uncle and got bitten by a spider.
Wow.
Yeah. Well,
way to minimize his pain.
Yeah, I thought Thunderbolts was great. It was up really up there as well.
Yeah.
And Peter, don't feel ashamed. If you want to give a rating to Rental Family and just throw it out there, you're more than welcome to.
Well, you know, very, very different films. But, you know, we've spoken about Rental Family more recently and I think we, you know, made it clear that we all thought it was a very, very well put together and worthy film to have a look at. But it's a definitely a different vibe. You know, it's a big ticket Marvel night versus a... independent human story night is very different. And look, there are other films, you know, that we watched that I appreciated just from, you know, a nerd film art experience. Like I had never seen The Wrestler before and I probably should have. That one with Sebastian Stan that we watched earlier in the year.
Oh, yeah. A Different Man.
A Different Man. Definitely wouldn't be my top, but it was a really interesting watch and I'm glad I watched it. Those two I wouldn't have watched if we weren't doing this together. So, you know, just appreciating some of the little extra things I got to see because
we forced you to.
Yeah.
Because you forced me kicking, screaming, but it's not like I've ever forced you to watch anything that you were going to watch.
True.
Ted Lasso.
I put into the chat. I was asking. I threw our first list, first chatter under the bus to see what their opinion was. I asked Tari what her favorite movie was. She said I didn't really watch that many movies. So I was like, okay. So what's your favorite anything? And of course, her response was, being the critter that she is, the Mighty Nein.
Yeah,
of course.
Very high on the list. And episode 5 was gorgeous. Also, incredibly traumatic.
we'll get back to TV and just after the break soon, which is going to happen very soon. Mine. Isn't it mine? It's my
yes,
go, isn't it?
Deal.
It's
mine.
It's yours.
Fine.
What was your favourite?
There was a few things that came out. I didn't see a lot of TV. Movies, again. No. Or there weren't a lot of movies that came for it. I really enjoyed Rental Family. I don't think it was the best that I saw. I really like Companion. We reviewed that ages ago.
Oh, yeah.
That was great. Someone's already chosen Weapons. Fine. Thunderbolts was actually quite high as well. Like, I thought that, that was an interesting film. Eventually, I decided to settle on Frankenstein.
Okay.
Because I just really respected... like, we've all watched Guillermo del Toro attempt stuff, and he always gives us something beautifully visual to watch. But I think in this one, finally, there was a combination of both acting and character and beautiful visuals that I thought really worked for him. So I'm going to give Guillermo the thumbs up for best of 2025 on that one. But we reviewed that recently.
You didn't see that one.
I know, but you might not like the horror themes, Pete.
What's with you guys?
Unless you're down.
Peter, it's much better than Danny Boyle's interpretation.
Good to know.
Yeah.
I mean, there were some other ones that came out. Like, there was Eddington, which was an interesting film. I don't think it was the best.
Oscar Norga reminded me about Mickey 17. I loved that movie as well.
Again, interesting concept. Very long.
I thought it overstated
I enjoyed it. I did feel like it went a bit off the rails at the end. It just went on a bit of a drive around a completely different track at the end.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we also had Red Sonja. That was pretty up there.
Been fun at our worst movies of the year, and we could just have the same rant over and over again.
We'll have to do that next year. Pick the worst.
No fair, because someone might then break my heart by saying Megaforce was the worst thing you watched this year.
I would rate Red Sonja below Megaforce, actually.
Yeah. But, I mean, we also had Predator Badlands. It was that there. But I'm going to say Frankenstein.
Okay, Frankenstein was where you were at? Nice. Yep.
100%.
See, I also had that thing of trying to go, okay, I'm trying to avoid recency bias. Because, you know, you kind of think, oh, I watched that recently. That was pretty good. Yeah. But it's really hard. You do want to think back over the entire year and go, what did I really love back then? And I thought, yeah, Companion was fucking great.
We did this slightly differently this year. We talked about stuff, but we actually revisited a few older films. And we went back. We had anime month.
Yes.
And I saw things like The Rose of Versailles. Perfect Blue, which I'd never seen, so we had a lot of older films.
Batman Ninja again. Sorry.
I wasn't going to bring it up, Quinny. Fuck's sake. I've given you an out on that one. And we also had our WrestleToba, which was really interesting too, to go back and revisit wrestling films and stuff. So I thought it was good.
This is the year that I finally got around to watching The Sound of Music. So.
Yeah.
And the hills were alive.
My word, they were. Yes. I also, Elske Norge has pointed out that his big selection for the year, his cultural obsession, I have to give my 2025 gong to Sentimental Value, directed by Joachim Trier. I'm not going to try and pronounce the next title. The Worst Person in the World, with Renata Reinsver and Stellan Skarsgård. So Elske Norge and his deep abiding love of all things Norwegian. So thank you. Thank you very much. I'm very keen to check out Troll 2.
Oh yeah, Troll 2's out. Forgot about that.
I quite like Troll 1. Yeah. That was fun.
Yeah, this is a great and it was how long ago? It was like almost 15 years, wasn't it? Ago?
No, you're thinking time. Troll Hunter. So
no, there was the first one called Troll, which is called Troll from the trailer. That's what I remember about it.
I don't remember it being 15 years. I thought that was
quite a long,
long time ago.
I feel like it was quite, I don't know. I could go through this. But that's,
I'll look it up while we do.
I think that's enough for our movies. We've all got a movie. Yes, excellent. Thunderbolts for Peter. Jill's got Weapons. That's right. Quinny, you chose Red Sonja, and I... Oh, no, you made us watch
Red Sonja.
I
did choose
Red Sonja,
but not for any good reason.
Right. But I won't hold that against you. Thanks for letting us know your stuff in the chat as well. That's fun.
Yes.
Hopefully we ticked off a few. There were some honorable mentions I saw come in there. I was like, oh, this was great.
Yeah. Oh, look, Predator Badlands was fucking right up there for me. Like, yeah. I on any other year, I probably would have given that the top one, but. Yeah.
I think it's time for our mid show change though to start discussing the real complicated shit, which was all of the very excellent fucking television that came out in 2025. I feel like this was the year of TVs. Golden Globes were the real winners this year, not the Oscars. How does that sound?
I mean, I'd say the viewing audience were the real winners, and the Golden Globes are just a piece of shit that just does their, you know, their usual thing.
Wow, and it's fun words.
No, I think fucking award shows are crap most of the time.
Excellent. Well,
except when people
except
win
when
them.
Pete wins one. Yeah, yeah. Except then.
Jesus. I just gonna.
How many is it now, Pete? How many Golden Globes?
What?
No, she's
just
Emmy.
Just the
winner.
One Emmy.
Oh, sorry,
she's
Emmy. Just
multiple
an
Emmy,
Emmy
award.
I'm
winner.
Golden Globe.
Yeah.
That's next.
What do you want from me?
She's going for the EGOT.
Yeah, exactly. She's got a Grammy next.
I'm very keen to see you get a Tony. I'm very keen to see you.
One down, three to go, Pete. Let's go.
I will be lucky to get an actor next year. Let's calm down on the EGOT.
I've heard 30 minutes of Pete's experimental theremin album, and I tell you, it's absolutely mind-blowing. Exactly. I'm going to go to a clip just to have a little transition break. That's okay. It's going to be from the Quinny TV show.
As you can see, we have some new faces with us this morning. Good morning, good morning. Come on over. Starting with second-year resident Dr. Melissa King, fresh from the VA.
Everyone calls me Mel. I'm so happy to be here.
Trinity Santos, intern.
Victoria Javadi, MS3.
Dennis Whitaker, MS4.
Welcome to the pit.
We got two traumas from the tea. Five minutes out.
Okay, copy that. Actually, this is the most important person that you're going to meet today. This is Dana. She's our charge nurse. She is the ringleader of our circus. Do what she says when she says it. As you can see, our house is always packed. And our department is mostly clogged up with boarders. Those are admitted patients waiting for a room upstairs, sometimes for days. Beds are a very precious commodity around here, so please be quick and efficient with your workups. What else? We treat the sicker patients back here, but please keep your eye on that waiting room. Make sure nobody's going to die out there.
So, yes, this is the one that I don't think anyone would expect me to choose. And to be honest, earlier in the year, I may have gotten a little bit snarky with this series because I was like, you know, when we were coming to the awards season and everything and things like Andor were not getting as much love as I personally thought they should, or Last of Us season two or whatever, you know, I was kind of like, oh, come on, why is genre being kind of put into the background when, you know, and what is this pit show? I've got no fucking, it's just fucking ER again. And then I watched the fucking thing. Yes. The Pit is a procedural, you know, doctors and nurses and ER situation set in a ER in Pittsburgh, starring Noah Wiley, and it is fucking good.
Excellent television.
We didn't talk about The Pit, did we?
We didn't. No.
No.
Twice hasn't appeared on my list.
No.
Because I didn't watch that one.
You did watch The Pit?
Yeah.
Yay. 15 hours of a day in the life. Like each episode is an hour of the day.
It's 24.
It is 24.
But not 24 episodes.
But not really.
Kind of sort. Not really.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, well, you know. It's,
you don't
I
get
mean,
a beep, boop, boop.
No,
if
the point of 24 was kind of more about the human, the human arc that happens in that one day, then perhaps.
Yeah,
and it's pretty cool because like
who saw The Pit? So Jill, Jill's the odd person out, right?
Right.
Excellent. This is good. No, I like a switch around. Like rather than Pete just sitting there going, "Hi, it's me again." I didn't see it.
Yeah, it's great because it introduces characters in like hour one or two, and it's an ER, so they will then be put into a bed, and they might get their results back in hour four, or you know they'll keep coming back to them because that's how things operate. And you know, there's a guy who's stuck out in the waiting room, And if you've ever been to a big city ER, you spend most of your time in the waiting room. Like, if you're in the actual ER itself, fuck, more power to you. You know, it's all about, you know, how quickly they can service people and then how quickly they can try and get them up into beds in the actual hospital. There's conflict between the head of the ER and the head of the business head of the hospital. It should, like, for me, I was like, fuck, I shouldn't like this. This is not my jam at all, but Jesus Christ, I was just utterly fucking blown away by how emotionally invested I got. There's something that happens sort of three quarters of the way through the season that today, especially, I was just like, oh, fuck.
It's really interesting watch because we've all watched these kind of, you know, ER was one of my very, very favorite shows growing up. Noah Wiley, first, you know, TV, one of my first TV crushes. We've all watched, you know, these medical procedural dramas, and some of them have been excellent, like ER, and some of them are kind of more on the soapy, dramatic side, and they're also fun to watch. But it's weird settling into a series arc where these characters having series arcs, but they're not like the big dramatic Grey's Anatomy series arcs that you're going to get because you're following these characters over the first year of their internship. Mm. It's a series arc that follows a character over their emotional arc for one shift.
Yeah.
One day. So it becomes kind of a very interesting piece of storytelling, really interesting performances, really interesting how they were able to hold story together for a whole season with that time kind of storytelling.
I don't think I've ever seen a show
rewatch on my part.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen a show structured as tightly as this. And clearly what they've done is gone, okay, well, we're going to write 12 or 13 different storylines and character experiences, and then we're going to weave them through. But at the same time, we're going to amp up the danger at certain points. We're going to, you know, bring characters in and out. And, yeah, oh, it's just incredible TV. Like,
and it's also weird because you become so invested in these characters and you kind of want the rest of the year of their internship as an arc, but you can't have it because the whole series was just what they learned in that one day.
Yeah.
And I don't know, there is going to be a series two, and I'm assuming, I don't know, is it going to be a day next year?
could be. Enough. Look, excellent television. One of the things I enjoyed most about it was watching actual medical professionals watching The Pit and going, oh, they should have done some medical procedure. And then, like, literally 3 seconds later in the show, they do that medical procedure and they're all going like, oh, okay, well, yeah, sure. Okay, yeah, fine.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they're just a little bit like, they're kind of like, yeah, I would have done that too. Like, you know, so the accuracy is amazing.
Yeah. And that was probably, I guess, the other thing. If you're not into that sort of stuff, you probably may not enjoy that, but Dion and I both work in and around the healthcare profession and stuff like that, and around paramedics and nurses and stuff, so it is, yeah, it feels quite real.
Excellent, wonderful choice.
Yeah,
like the, and we haven't reviewed it, as I said, I would give it really up there too. Like, it is an excellent amount of it's stressful and it's emotional, so big warning out there if there's something in for you.
Emotion.
It's kind of like the first season of The Bear. It's going to destroy you, but you're going to feel okay at the end of it.
I've only heard people raving about it, so I definitely want to give it a watch.
I would also say, and there is a content warning here, there is stuff towards the, I think it's around hour 8 or 9, that if you've been particularly affected by the stuff that's been going on here in Sydney in the last couple of days, I would maybe give that a little bit of room.
Yeah.
Because, there's some stuff in there that's pretty hard going.
Okay.
Understood. Yeah.
Next. Who's next? Got other TV?
I've only got two more clips. Jill, I didn't get your clip.
Oh, that's all right. TV.
Well, so why don't you go yours? We've just seen a clip.
Sure.
Yeah.
My highest rated TV this year was The Last of Us Season 2.
Yes.
Ooh, yeah.
Now, contentious in some circles.
Oh, yeah.
Because, but, like, I'm only asking, I love that you loved it, and tell us why, please.
I did have to, like, scrounge through what we reviewed to see what I could remember having actually watched this year, because if there's one thing I consume a lot of, it's television. So, yeah, it was really kind of hard to remember what stuff I watched this year. Because, I mean, there's been a lot of follow-up seasons this year for stuff that I watch quite regularly. But, yeah, I think Last of Us was, like, really emotionally effective kind of season. There's a lot of a lot of cool stuff that happened there. Sorry, I can't remember much.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you're quite right there, because there's so much that came out in this year. You've got Severance.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, yeah, Severance, season two as well. Skeleton, that was great. Skeleton Crew. Andor season two.
Yeah.
What a season two. I think we did a whole episode on season two.
Yeah, it's Squid Game.
Yeah, I love Silo. Squid Game too.
Yeah, like there
kind
was
really hard to narrow it down on the TV. There was a lot of good stuff this year.
There was, and like as well as season twos of a bunch of stuff, there was also some really interesting original stuff, like, you know, first seasons and new content that we hadn't run across before, and that made it also really, really fucking exciting.
We had we had Reacher, that continues to be a fun one for Jill, I know.
Yes, I love Reacher. Look, let's go for the recency bias. Like Quinny says, I'm going to put Heated Rivalry up there just because that ticks a lot of my boxes. But
I watched some of those boxes, Jill, just recently. And I was like, yep, okay. I see why she was liking this one. No worries. There was other stuff. Daredevil came out this year.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, well, reboot franchise, Yellow Jackets is still continuing.
Yeah, Yellow Jackets was good too.
Yeah, Yellow Jackets was really good.
Of course.
Karina, Chief of War, that was great on Apple.
I totally forgot about that. Apple just continues to do excellent television.
Yeah, they do really smash it out.
Star Trek, Twisted Metal.
Wars was great. My God, Twisted Metal was great. Strange New Worlds was great.
Yeah, my probably the other thing I would have gone for, but once again, recency bias, Welcome to Derry. Like, that has been fucking absolutely on fire.
I was waiting to see when you were going to bring that one up, because that was pretty close there, Quinny. Mainly because Jill and Peter are never going to watch that.
But every time I go to watch an episode of Heated Rivalry, they keep showing me ads for Welcome to Derry. I'm like, stop it, go away. I just want to watch guys fuck.
I'm more likely to watch Welcome to Derry than Jill is.
True. Yeah.
Saying a lot in the horror genre.
And I've just started watching the new series that started on the UK, The War Between the Land and the Sea, which is fascinating. It's a Doctor Who spin-off series.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
That, like, Disney Plus gave them money for, and, like, BBC have released it, and God only knows when Disney's going to put it on, like, sometime next year. But, yeah, it's a Russell T. Davies kind of doing more of what he did in Children of Earth, and, like, that Torchwood big concept sci-fi stuff without the Doctor in it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good fun. Good. Really interesting.
There is a question.
Karina said Adolescence. Holy shit.
I haven't seen that one. So at least I can dump out of that. There was a question, though, Quinny from Petakanga, about whether or not you have to be up to current with Doctor Who in order to get it. Great.
No, not really.
Entry level.
Yep. Yeah, you can jump on and just watch a really interesting concept. And it's what, when Russell T. Davies does what he does best, which is let's look at an idea. Like a big idea, and go, okay, how does that work on a global scale? I find it really interesting when he does stuff like that.
Jill, talking about your Last of Us season two, was the best thing. Do you agree with the split of season two being half of the story so that they push it into season three? Is that working for you?
Yeah, I do. I mean, give us more of it. Like, I enjoy a bit more long format storytelling than just, you know, dumping it all in the first 10 episodes. Like, let's stretch it out. Let's explore the characters a bit more. Yeah.
And did you enjoy watching my talentless doppelganger get murdered on screen?
Wow.
That was heartbreaking.
Yeah, that was all that crushed. Yeah, that's how I'm going to refer to everyone now. Like, you look like this person, like that hack, that talentless buffoon.
Dion, you should cosplay Dead Joel next year.
And I should just walk around with a bunch of golf clubs.
Yeah, or just like, you know the ones that like an arrow, like a headband? Yeah. Just have a golf club like going out of your head.
I'll just do that thing where I'll just hand them a golf club and then I'll lie down in front of them. There we go.
Twist the knife.
Yeah, exactly. Look, you know, if you're going to do something horrific, make them scarred. Okay, where do we go? Well...
Peter,
watch your TV.
Which one do you want to go? Where do you want to end on? Do you want to end on a happy clip or a low clip? Because I got to tell you, Pete, I don't have a lot of happy clips with my one.
Okay, you got it.
I was going to say. It was never in doubt. It's Andor. Straight into the Andor clip.
This is Farmer One. The Vote of God. This is Farmer One, making an emergency broadcast on all open channels. This is Bomber One. This is Bomber One. We are under siege. We're being slaughtered. The Imperial murder of Gorman has begun. There are hundreds of bodies this moment. As I say these words, hundreds of murdered Gorman lay dead in Bomber Plaza. Thousands more on the streets, more every minute. We're being destroyed. This is Gorman reaching for any open channel that can hear me. If you can hear me, if you believe in truth, if you have any faith left in truth, please, please mark this message and pass it forward. This is murder! The Empire built this fire. They made this fire and led us to the slaughter. Now they expect us to die without knowing why. The conspiracy we feared is real. It's here today. Imperial ships are already landing across the moon.
Help us! Is there no one who can help us? Is there no one?
It's me to bring us all down for this one. Andor's great.
Yeah.
It's fantastic television, incredibly apt, not even intentional, just human. Essentially a bunch of laser-wielding flying spaceship fantasy that just did what we want science fiction to do in the box, which is to remind us of the issues we still have, and if we don't do something to fix it, we're going to have in the future. Anyway, top-tier TV. Anyone else decide that Andor was shit? Anyone?
No.
This is a threat. Like,
see that one.
You didn't.
Didn't see Andor.
I've been saving it up for when I have the headspace.
Yeah.
I never have headspace.
You never have headspace.
Oh, Pete.
Did you watch the first season of Andor, Pete?
I've been saving it up for when I have the headspace because you're like, you have to watch it. It's really good. So I have to watch it properly.
Look, I will offer you this as a support person. I will happily come around and, like, you know, make snacks and feed tea and wrap you in a blanket and be like, do you want to watch Andor? Because we can watch Andor. Like, happy to watch Andor. I have some tissues. You're going to cry.
I feel like you actually may have fed me tea while we watched the first episode together at one point.
Yes, I believe that did happen. And then you're like, no, I've got to leave because of, like, there's work and things. I'm like, no, stay. It's only 9 more hours.
Oh, We did do that one time.
Yeah.
It was for the first series.
I'll make that offer to anyone. Anyone want to do a remote watch of it? I'll just sit there. I can't make tea and snacks for everyone because that's just impossible.
I would do that.
I'll definitely watch Andor again.
Like, I love the first season. I thought that was spectacular, but the second season just kind of took it to a different level of, incredible storytelling and scope. Like, the scale of the whole thing blew me away. But what I don't think I've ever seen a TV series do so successfully is recontextualize a film.
Yes. It redeemed Rogue One for me because I didn't enjoy it the first time around. And after watching Andor season two, I'm like, I'm going straight into Rogue One. And now it's a better film in my opinion.
I agree. Like I loved Rogue One to start with because it was like, well, this is new for Star Wars, but also gave us the things we want, which is space battles and 70s mustaches. But yeah, like again, if you watch season two of Andor and roll straight into watching Rogue One, which I did, which is great, it is a total recontextualization of that film, and you go, "Wow, that's just fucking excellent work."
Yeah, yeah, it literally changes the lead character of the film.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah,
because you're like, how am I supposed to get on board with this person that I know nothing about?
Yeah, yeah. And now, all of a sudden, go on for a very, very long fucking time. Yeah. But yeah.
I will bang on about Andor for it. But I have to say, it was very, very close considering the amount of excellent television that's out there. I really enjoyed The Last of Us. There were so many other things that we discussed briefly. I will say Pluribus has been giving me very interesting and enjoyable watch. Like I'm having a really good time watching it, and I feel like that's important to acknowledge as well. We've been, all of this television that's been coming has been amazing, and I kind of had a hard time. Like it was close. I love The Pit. I love all those things. It's hard work, but I could not without I could not betray my Star Wars sensibilities. So right.
Fair.
All the depressing one done.
Okay.
Pete, what did you choose?
Again, entirely based on the numbers that I read on our own website. my highest rated television series for the year was Murderbot.
Very uplifting.
Which, again, I kind of stick by. I mean, I loved The Pit. I'm sure there are other TV series that I've watched this year that, as you guys all say, there's been some excellent TV, but particularly if you discount season twos and threes, because they've had their chance to be a favourite. as we discussed when we talked about it, I enjoyed Murderbot. I looked forward to it every week. It was good little bites of very nicely balanced humour and storytelling, and it's just about a guy who just wants to watch his shows.
Yeah. Isn't that what we all are?
It's very relatable, you know? He doesn't like getting eye contact and he wants to watch his shows. And I'm like, it's a TV series about me, basically.
And keeps getting interrupted by other people making your life difficult.
Yes. I just want to watch my shows, but people keep needing me to do my job.
Yeah.
Trying to make me get eye contact and like, hug me.
And making you like look after them and pull their asses out of the fire and stuff like that. Oh God!
And demask.
Yeah. No. God.
No thanks.
When you lay it all like that out like that, it's just like, oh my God.
I think that like Murderbot is a super fun watch. Everybody should watch it. I can't think of anybody really who wouldn't enjoy something about it.
And it's got a Skarsgård in it.
It does.
And it's got a Skarsgård.
Yeah.
One of the many. One of the ones that I like a lot.
I love that now is like when we think of families in movies and television shows, you know, people have sort of gone off the Hemsworths. But as soon as you mention it's got a Skarsgård, everyone's like, oh, interesting.
Like, Dion's like, personally affronted by the Hemsworths because of what they did to Witcher.
Oh, fuck.
I like you say they as well, like multiple Hemsworths.
Oh, yeah, they're all involved.
Even Luke.
It's just by proxy.
You can't. Like, I mean, yeah, Witcher season 4 is not in the best of advantages, but I find it hard to blame people in that show. Like, you know, there was definitely a big schism that happened. So anyone who carried on with it, which is all the other people and all the crew and everyone's working on it. I mean, it's kind of hard when your driving force drives off while the road's going that way and you're like, okay.
So are the Skarsgårds the superiors now?
Of course they are. They're in everything. They're in It. They're in Andor. They're in Murderbot. You know, why is this not? Why? How is this a problem?
Please give me the Datto family any day.
Oh, the Dattos!
Wow.
Yeah, I would love to see the Dattos. That'd be great.
I mean, amused by our like referencing of the Witcher and everything is in terms of the, you know, we're talking about the best of the year here, but there have also been some stinkers out there. And I do want to shout out to the film that Dion has mentioned multiple times now tonight that canonically is the lowest rated film that we have watched this year. Well done, Red Sonja.
That was your fucking pick, Quinny.
Yep. I 100% was, and I regret it. Incidentally, the second lowest was also the Batman Ninja versus Yakuza.
Another Quinny pick.
I know. So quite frankly, this year has been a bit of an embarrassment for me.
Yes. 2026, Quinny will be replaced.
Yep. By AI, what's more.
Oh, no.
What do you think of that? By AI, I wouldn't worry about that.
Quinbot 3000.
Yeah. No.
And all he wants to do is not make eye contact and watch your shows.
The more AI replaces us, the more we can just watch our shows.
Yeah.
Terrible because they'll be made by AI.
Yes. Oh, no. And the show, yeah. And then the shows will be completely made by it. And then it'll just be a recursive loop. And then we get the Butlerian.
And then we'll be like in another movie that we watched this year, The Electric State.
Fuck. Yeah, that was
bad list. So are we saying that like the first show back in January should be our worst picks of 2025?
No, because we're kind of covering them now.
We want to start 2026 off in a positive way, Jill. That's why we'll be starting off with Avatar, Fire and Ash.
Though I do believe the Jurassic World Rebirth may be well in line for one of the worst.
Oh, dear. I did see a great meme today that was like, make sure you poop on December 31st so you don't take your old shit with you into the new year. So let's get all the bad ones out now, guys.
Yeah.
Wise words, I've got to say, for December. Oh, God, I just remembered I'm working over New Year's. I just had that thing. I'm like, oh, I'm not doing anything for New Year's. Yeah, you are.
Like, think shit before midnight. You'll be fine.
Yeah, sure. Specifically in that public area that I'm in with not a lot of toilet.
Yeah, good times.
I
also wanted
border.
To shout out Alien Earth. I just remembered that
one.
Oh,
yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah. We've had so much stuff this year.
TV was amazing in 2025. So... Hopefully we get some more stuff, more funner in 2026.
Hello, Chastangela. Welcome to the chat. She also agrees with you that The Witcher season 4 is not a thing.
It's not great. But we're not talking about negativity. We're talking about positivity. And one of the things that's been very positive has been everyone who's listening.
Yay!
You guys have been very, very positive. And everyone enjoying the chat. And everyone listening. And people who don't talk to us, who listen to us. I know there are some. You're out there. We love you too. Even though you never talk to us, but that's okay. Peter,
they just want to watch their shows.
They just want to listen to the podcast. They don't want to make eye contact.
Yep, they just want to watch or listen to their shows.
I'm fine with that. Like, you know, it's good, but maybe just an email once a year. It'd be great. Be like, hey, like
stay
that show. Yeah. I liked what you said in that one episode 3 months ago. Great. That's all I need.
I have a validation.
Then.
Yeah. I have a friend who quite often will listen to the podcast and then because we're in a group chat, he will just throw insults at me based on what part of the podcast he's listening to at that moment.
So he live chats his listening.
So I just get this live streamed argument about why I'm wrong or what Dion said that was stupid or... You know,
Fantastic. Or how right Jill is all the time.
All exactly. the time. There has never once been anything bad said about Jill or Peter.
Exactly.
But yeah, I like the, what was the last one last week that we were talking about? Was the podcast last week? It was.
It was only last week when he.
Dude, yes. It was 7 days ago. I don't know.
I know, it was very difficult.
It was Twin Peaks.
Oh yeah, that's right. The twin films, and so he was having a very good time arguing over which was the better of the twin films. And he's like, "Armageddon, are you mad?
Maybe he should have voted."
He should have voted. I've said that to him, and he's now going to give me shit when he's listening to this. So it's now the kind of recursive thing. Dawes, shut your fucking mouth, bro. Yeah, wow. You've had your shout out for Christmas. Aren't you lucky? Oh.
God damn it, Quinny. That's going to knock our subscriber numbers.
Speaking of which, what you could do for us for our Christmas is subscribe. No.
Give us a Ko-fi tip and I'll say your name out loud. Is that the kind of gratification people want?
Sure, that's it. You know, you've got to start referring to everyone in the chat as just chat, as a collective organism. Yeah, that's right, chat.
Yeah,
if I start doing that in real life, shoot me.
Though I did like Elskar Auger's question. It was like, hey, what level of Patreon supporter do we need to do an Andor watch along with Dion?
Ooh, I was like, maybe we have to have like a monetized Discord.
Yeah, a monetized Discord where we watch TV shows and chat with them.
There'll be like one of those little thermometer kind of things that goes up in level, and as soon as we hit the right level, I'm like, yeah, sweet. Okay, yeah. That's when I've got to do it. Hey, look,
and if they don't donate enough, we just won't watch the next episode.
Oh, wow. You've got to edge them into giving more money.
Yeah.
Fucking criminal capitalists here on this podcast. I'm ashamed by all of you.
Yep. I feel like Discord isn't the platform that you're thinking of.
Well, no, probably not. But like that's what all of the podcasts do now. It's like, hey, for our Patreon subscribers, you could join a private Discord.
I'm starting to realize like the downside of Critical Role is that you have to have all of these exclusive channels to be on to get all of the content.
Yeah.
I mean, look, it sounds very much like the OnlyFans metric of what we're doing.
But we wouldn't exploit our viewers and our listeners.
No, we love you for who you are.
We'll exploit ourselves.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yes. We'll tart ourselves up for anything. Just Angela's pick of the year was, and I can understand this, as problematic as the creator is, she enjoyed The Sandman season 2.
That's good.
It's such a tricky one because I've also watched some of that and I'm like, I'm doing it out of this weird sense of I loved the comics.
Yeah.
And then you're like,
Every single actor in that gave it their all and I think they did a remarkable job in that show.
Yeah. I felt very bad for the actors because they did everything they could and the whole thing was just blowing up in their face through no fault of their own.
It's a good old Kobayashi Maru sort of thing. You can do everything right and still lose.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, absolutely.
That one was there. Well, that has been lovely. And this show has also been, you know, lovely in the wake of things that have not been lovely. And I am, if there's something I'm thankful for in 2025, it is this show and this audience and the fun I have doing it.
For sure.
That has been lovely.
It is a shining light in the week. You know, where I get to come together with three of my best friends and talk shit about movies and TV and have arguments and make jokes and, you know, generally realize that there are good people in the world and I'm here with them.
Yes.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
That's so nice, Quinny. Thank you. Love you.
Love all of you. Love you. Love Pete. Love Dion. I hugged Dion today.
Aww,
I didn't like it. He was also making eye contact and wasn't letting me watch my show.
Just let him watch his shows, Quinny.
Just let him watch my shows.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Stop telling my boss I'm watching TV and let me watch my shows.
There's a lot of chat at the moment talking about Critical Role. I think for many of us, a highlight was the Critical Role live shows as well, which doesn't fit into movie or TV.
Sure, it's pop culture.
Yeah, pop culture, and I think you know that for a bunch of nerds, you know. Nothing fucking. I was trying to explain to a family member on the weekend that, like, they said, "What's the T-shirt?" And I was like, "Oh, it's a Critical Role." And she's like, "What? What's that?" I'm trying to explain to my 77-year-old mother what Critical Role is, and it's eventually
people
landed
a board game in front of other people.
Yes, I landed on, well, you know, the Rod Laver Arena. Okay, well, that was full with 13,000 people watching 7 people on stage do maths. Competitively,
but in an entertaining way.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah, it's a lovely thing. Yeah. Oh, Jill, your wrestling, was that a highlight for you?
It was. I don't know if any of you guys have seen, like, Instagram, like, what are your top 5 achievements of the year? But, like, I've been struggling to think of 5. Like, I came up with 2, and then I did remember going to Perth to see wrestling, so that was 3. But I have to come up with 2 more. Does everybody have, like, a highlight of something from the year that they did, not watching TV or movies, but just something that happened to them this year that was really good?
Yeah. I
got fish.
You didn't just get fish, you got a big fuck off tank full of fish.
I got fished by association. So, yeah, I technically didn't get the fish, but the fish live in my house now. But I love them. They're a lovely fish.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's they're nice. Very excited to see me to be fed and then ignore me most of the other time. But that's
like
okay.
Any good pet.
Like any good
pet. Yes.
Pete Quinney, what was your highlight of the year? Something nice that happened to you?
Ooh, I mean, like I do think, like, you know, seeing Critical Role doing that live was a big highlight for me. But also, I mean, I watched Metallica live. That was pretty fucking cool. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there have been a lot of really lovely moments with, to be honest, my highlight is my time with my friends.
That's nice.
Yeah. It's important.
Yeah.
I mean, just getting through all the calendar notifications has been a highlight of my year.
Yeah.
Just looking back going, what did I do this year? Yeah. I didn't take any time off.
Yeah, you need to work on that, Dale. For next year, you need to give yourself more time.
I can say
Peter,
also,
you're not going to get out of this.
I got to go to Japan with my parents. That was cool.
That's lovely.
I also saw Forbidden Dogs in America.
I saw Forbidden Dogs in
America.
The
ones that you can't pack.
Yeah. I also went to France again earlier in the year. So, like, why is Peter always so tired? He knows.
why would that
she
be?
She goes everywhere.
So, yeah, I've done some things. But, yeah, I mean, taking my parents to Japan, that's a pretty special.
Yeah.
That's a pretty special experience. Taking my mum to the, you know, Philosopher's Walk in Kyoto. That was fun. She loves that stuff.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Dad to the to the excellent museums that Jill recommended in Takayama so that he could play Asteroids on real life arcade machines like a child. That was fun.
Although one common thing which I've just noted that everyone, it's all about the going and the doing.
Yeah.
You've all had fun. Your best moments of your last year have been going and doing things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. So that's what I wish for everyone for Christmas until we come back next year, is go and do. Do something.
Yeah.
You're probably sometimes give yourself permission not to do and enjoy that as well.
Yeah. Resting is also good.
Or go and do nothing.
Yeah.
Also great.
Yes.
Very zen.
Yeah. Go and you do you.
Yeah.
I hope everybody has a wonderful Christmas and gets to do something enjoyable.
Sure.
Yeah.
I hope everyone gets a lot of nog.
Or just egg.
or egg.
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 Fur not to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, enjoy yourselves, look after yourselves. It's been a bit of a rough couple of days. If you've got, you know, things that you're worried about, remember that there are good people in the world and they love you and they're caring for you. So look out for one another, and we will see you in the middle of January, I guess.
2026?
We will see you, yeah, in 2026 when we come back. Stay tuned. But thanks, everyone. Have a great rest of the year. As best you can.
Yes. Take care. Bye.
Okay. Merry Thank business. You. Good night.
Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.